A new survey of the Japanese public revealed that 83% did not want Tokyo to hold the Olympics and Paralympics as planned this summer. That was up 14 percentage points from a survey in April. This as the Olympic Games less than 100 days away. And remember, if you'll be in Kiawah for the PGA Championship on Friday, let me know. Love to say hello and see you. This is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, May 19th. I'm Abe Madcore. Let's get to the top stories in sports business this morning. First, very interesting news out of Stanford University. It is reinstating all 11 varsity sports programs that it had planned to eliminate. This is a major reversal of a decision last summer that caused major controversy. So we talked about this on the Buzzcast last summer. When those cuts were announced, those were to sports like men's volleyball, men's and women's fencing, men's rowing, field hockey, among others. They cited financial shortfalls, but school leaders cited improvements in the school's financial situation and also said supporters of the program had stepped up to reveal a new path of funding for these sports, 10 of which are featured at the Olympics. So these are the Olympic sports that really need funding. And remember, the 36 Sports Strong Advocacy Group, that was a group of very influential alumni, many of them Stanford athletes. They worked publicly and vocally to keep the sports intact. So the university said that the financial challenges on campus and in the athletic department still existed, but its athletic endowment became more flush with cash over the last 10 months, and efforts to raise money had created a brighter future for these 11 varsity sports. Some noted the pressure last week. A pair of lawsuits were filed alleging that the university defrauded recruits by not telling him the sports could be dropped. But sources at Stanford said the decision to reinstate the sports had already been made before the legal decision. The status of these suits is unclear. But regardless, big news at Stanford reinstating all those 11 varsity sports programs that it had planned to eliminate. It also sends a sign on a couple of things. One, that some athletic departments' financial shortfalls aren't as dire as they had anticipated. And two, when a advocacy group has very influential members and can raise funds, it can really make a difference. Let's stay with college sports because Maryland became the 16th state to sign into law legislation around name, image, and likeness. And they will join Florida, Georgia, Alabama, New Mexico, and Mississippi as states set to enact that law on July 1st. Remember, that is the earliest date that these states can go forward with this legislation. This comes as more and more college leaders believe that a federal law will likely be the best and ultimate solution to the name, image, and likeness issue and consistency across states. But very few are confident there will be a federal law passed by that July 1st date. And right now, Maryland joins these other states with legislation set to roll out on July 1st. This is coming to a head very, very quickly. I want to stay in Maryland because BetMGM will be the first sportsbook operator to sponsor a team in the state. And the deal comes less than 24 hours after Maryland Governor Larry Hogan signed into law legislation that will allow for as many as 60 licenses to operate online throughout the state of Maryland. So BetMGM has now signed a deal, a multi-year deal, with the Baltimore Ravens that includes signage and promotion through the team's digital and social media channels and hospitality. Maryland is a key state for BetMGM. They'll open a retail sports book at Nationals Park as part of an exclusive deal with the Nats. BetMGM hopes the Ravens deal will extend its reach into Baltimore. They really want to see a Maryland, Virginia, DC stronghold on the sports betting space. They believe that doing this deal with the Ravens, also doing a deal with the Nationals, allows them to do this. The Ravens are the seventh NFL team sponsored by BetMGM. The deal is not exclusive, meaning the Ravens can have other sponsors in this category, as have many pro teams in legalized states done similar types of deals, but a big deal for the Ravens, a big deal for BetMGM, and Maryland, again, getting in to the sports betting scene. Let's shift to the NBA. Two play-in games last night, pretty interesting. Two more tonight. I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns because the Phoenix Suns are seen as a team on the rise. They are coming off a 51-win season. That's their best record in more than a decade. That record has also led the team to a league-leading number of new season tickets sold for this year. Now the team is looking for a new naming rights partner. They have selected an agency, Innovative Partnership Group, that is led by Jeff Marks. That agency won out in an agency review. They will now assist the team in selling naming rights to that city-owned downtown Phoenix arena. Now, sources told our Terry Lefton in his SBJ marketing newsletter yesterday that the Suns are seeking an asking price of around $9 million a year, and they're seeking a minimum 10-year deal. This venue, if you can remember, opened in 1992, and just think of the names that it's had. America West Arena. It was U.S. Airways Center. It was Talking Stick Resort Arena. And most recently, it's been called the Phoenix Suns Arena, largely a placeholder name. But the arena is going under a major renovation. $230 million are going to be put into this building. It's about 80% completed. The building will almost look new once it's reopened before the next NBA season. And now they are hoping for a new naming rights sponsor for that building. So the Phoenix Suns on the lookout for a new naming rights partner and have tapped Innovative Partnerships Group to help them get there. Let's shift to media because ESPN Films, they're doing a multi-part documentary series about Derek Jeter's life and career with the Yankees. It's called The Captain. I know this will make Yankee fans very, very excited. The Captain is being executive produced by a number of heavy hitters, Spike Lee, Mike Tolan from The Last Dance, Mandalay Sports Media, Excel Media, former ESPN executive Connor Schell, and the Players Tribune and Major League Baseball all serving as executive producers. It's slated to premiere on ESPN in 2022. Remember, ESPN is already doing Tom Brady's 9-part series, Man in the Arena. Now they'll do a multi-part documentary series about Derek Jeter called The Captain. And as we finish the Buzzcast, we talk a lot about people. Well, a name you've heard a lot on the Buzzcast this week and a name you're going to want to become more familiar with is David Zaslav. And the Wall Street Journal today has a good look at the 61-year-old Zaslav. He is the Discovery CEO who has really pushed himself to the top of the media world through a wave of deal making after 14 years of building Discovery and investing in sports media and sports rights. He will now lead that new venture, Discovery's merger with Warner Media, that instantly makes him one of the most influential people in the sports business. So again, a good read, and it makes you more familiar with David Zaslav and his strategy going forward. So that is your Morning Buzz, guys. It's Wednesday. It's May 19th. I'm Abe Madcore. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay healthy. Be really good to each other, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.